Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Got to admit, you feel better on Monday when you hear Fats on the Savage Nation. You know, life is the way it should be. Everything is in order. Everything's perfect. And you're getting ready for the Savage Nation. Things aren't so bad. Life goes on. Yeah, I mean, we're living through a slow communism. We know that. We know that Obama's a naked Marxist. We understand that. And he's trying to do it by a slow process. And not so slow, actually. But aside from that, the sky is still blue, the snow is still white. I mean, the snow is not white, is it? If you were in school, you've been told that global warming is going to end the earth and there's no winter. So therefore, snow is not white, it's green. But if you think you've had a bad Monday, you think you've had a bad Monday? Well, here's what I got in my mail this morning. I go to the mailbox, okay, coffee in hand, bathrobe out of the Sopranos. I get the mail. It's left over from Saturday. I spaced out. I didn't even want to look at it. I'm about to throw out the junk mail, and I look at one. And what does the bottom of the envelope say? It says free. Free! Prepaid cremation. Details inside. I said, what? They got to be kidding. Where'd they get my name from? Now, I was afraid to flip the envelope over to look at the return address because I feared it would say courtesy of the U.S. government. I thought, is this the latest in Obamacare? They're now targeting conservatives with envelopes on prepaid cremation? Well, then I started to thinking about the satirical possibilities. I thought, this will be the ultimate Obamacare for all of the people over the age of 50. And then it'll come with messages on television. It's the right thing to do. It's the green thing to do. Free government cremation. Do it. Do it for your neighbors. Your neighbors are doing it. Do it for the earth. Do it for the children. Have yourself green cremated. And donate your ashes for organic compost. Details inside from the federal government. Of course, there'd be disclaimers such as, this applies only to the white wing. Because in the words of Louis Farrakhan, only white wingers can be cremated. All others will get Obamacare until the age of 110. Of course, I realized this was only a fantasy. So I proceeded to open the envelope. Now, I'm going to do something live. I didn't open the envelope. I'm opening it right now on the Savage Nation. Because I'm going to get into the news later. But I'm really curious, how'd they get my name? For free cremation, I wonder. So I'm opening the envelope, and here's the letter from the Blank Society in Pine Island Road, 5th Floor Plantation, Florida. Dear Michael Savage, for a variety of reasons, more and more people are choosing to plan for memorialized cremation over traditional funeral arrangements. And the numbers are increasing every year! Cremation just makes sense because, it allows families to conduct simple personal services at their own expense. It's much less expensive. It has less impact on the environment. I told you, I knew it would be in there, I swear. It allows families to plan for a dignified resting place to memorialize their loved ones and provide closure. I'm not making this up! Signed, Adolf Hitler. No, I'm not kidding. It's not signed Adolf Hitler, but it may as well be. I mean, they're pushing crematoria here. Simple, economical, and dignified, it just makes sense, trademark. With everyone moving around these days, placing a loved one in a local cemetery may not be as functional as it used to be. Folks are finding that a meaningful service can be held without the need for a fancy and expensive funeral home. I'm not making this up. There are several advantages to making your arrangements now. First, you lock in today's price. Secondly, you protect your family from falling victim to pressure to overspend, also known as upselling. At a time when they're emotionally vulnerable. Instead, when the time comes, that means when you drop dead, your family is simply left to concentrate on what's important, helping each other to get through their grief, get through your will. Finally, arrangements may also qualify as an exempt asset when filing for Medicaid assistance. I swear to God, I wasn't far from the truth. Look, it says arrangements may also qualify as an exempt asset when filing for Medicaid assistance. Then it goes on. Like we said, cremation just makes sense. If you're not interested in spending your family's inheritance on embalming caskets, vaults, markers, fancy funeral homes, or cemetery property, then we have the answer, and blah, blah, blah. Signed, A. Hitler, no, somebody else. P.S. Sometimes deaths happen before you have had a chance to put plans in place. We stand ready to assist at a moment's notice should you need immediate help. And, of course, it's made on recycled paper. And then it says on the bottom, wait, please accept our apologies if this letter has reached you at a time of serious illness or death in your family. Printed on recycled paper, signed Al Gore. You know, Al could get into, if he, look, since he's lost the global warming scam, he's lucky if he gets out of the country without being arrested. I think Al Gore should go into the cremation business. It's somewhat related to global warming. You know, he could sell the compost. He could sell the compost of your body. That's what I had this morning. Now play Blue Monday again while I catch my breath and get ready for the show.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
I turned it off. That went over well. I could see there was no reaction out there. And I thought it'd be funny. You know, there's a funny thing about radio. When it hits you in the morning, that's funny. That's an opening. What do you think I'm going to talk about? Obama, Marxist, socialist, don't let a crisis go by without capitalizing on it, according to the Frankfurt Socialist School of Economics. I know all about that. I know what he's doing. I know he's a naked communist. I know he's going to give a speech again Wednesday on his socialized medical plan, calling it the way forward, right out of Mao Zedong's The Great Leap Forward. You think I can't read the tea leaves? You think I don't know he's surrounded by Marxists, communists, Maoists, Leninists, Trotskyites? I know this. I studied this for over 50 years. Schmuck, don't lecture me about communism. You're living in a proto-communist state, schmuck. Wake up, putz. Just because MSNBC tells you he's great doesn't mean they're not part of the conspiracy, moron. They're paid and bought by the Obama administration. They're puppets of the Obama administration on MSNBC. How do I know that? Because the chairman of the board of General Electric clearly is owned by the Obama administration in exchange for the trillions of dollars in green contracts that GE was promised. GE promised in return that NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, and others would fall in line with the Obama policies. That's how I know. Now play Blue Monday, and I'll be ready for the show in a minute.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave.
Stop for a minute. Now, you think I'm the only one dissatisfied with Obama. You're wrong. Virtually everybody is dissatisfied with Obama, including the Smokers Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. Everyone's dissatisfied with Obama, except even George Soros, who put him in power, is dissatisfied. Soros said he didn't move far enough to the left. He said his puppet, Obama the president, didn't nationalize the banks, therefore he's not satisfied with them. Listen to clip 6. I'm not making it up.
He should have compulsorily replaced the capital that was lost. Banks. This is what they call nationalizing the banks. And he made the political decision that is un-American, will not be accepted.
So George Soros, worldwide snake, the man who was found in a French court of insider training in 2002, a man who in the year 1992 almost broke the British pound by selling the pound short. A man who in 1997, during the Asian financial crisis, almost broke the Malaysian currency, sending off a wave of anti-Semitism through the Muslim world, and has now tried to take over the United States government beyond putting Skinny in the White House, beyond putting Skinny, the Skinny Smoker, in the White House. He's upset that the Skinny Smoker didn't nationalize the banks. You hear? Now play Blue Monday, and I'll be ready for the show.
Blue Monday.
When Jesus saw the money changers in the temple, what did he do? He cast them out. But when Obama, the left's messiah, saw the money changers in the temple of our nation, he didn't cast them out. He asked them for a campaign contribution. I'll be right back.
Savage.
not saying that Obamacare will include mandatory cremation, but when I get an envelope in the mail, I look at it, it says free information on free cremation information inside. You got to wonder how they get your name. I mean, what's going on in this country? And as you know that there's going to be propaganda soon from the U.S. government. You know, cremate for the earth. Your neighbors are doing it. Do it for the children. 150 species of worms are killed by your coffin, you know, taking up valuable space, killing off spores with your evil consumerist, you know, coffin. I was thinking about that during the break. I started to laugh to myself. I said, if you were to analyze who gets cremated and who gets buried in the United States of America, you have to figure, I mean, just intuitively, this is not scientific, that the majority of socialist libs would want to be cremated. They're like against burial. And at burial, I mean, any conservative would not want to be cremated. By and large, not to say any, most conservatives are probably somewhat affiliated with the religion they want to be buried, okay? Most. Not you, of course. Then we're going to get someone who's going to call now and say, Mike, I resent that. I'm a conservative atheist. I said, well, I got a solution for you, man. Why don't you cut your body in half, bury half of it, and cremate the other half, or cut it across the midsection. People always lie to you on talk radio. They come to make stuff up. Conservative atheist. Well, actually, you could be a conservative atheist. I'm a conservative hedonist, I think, when I think about it. I mean, I live for pleasure. Well, I don't live for pleasure. You think just because I suffer on the radio, I don't enjoy myself? What, are you crazy? What, do you get some idea that I'm a Quaker? You think I'm Amish? You got to sit there shaking in a burka? I know how to live. I'm an earthy man. I know how to enjoy my body. I'm not afraid of my body. I'm an old soul, man. We learned that in the Old Testament. It's an interesting thing, the whole thing about enjoying your body. I once read that the difference between Judaism and Christianity in a certain way is the earthiness part of Judaism. Jews are never taught to hate their body or fear their body, contrary to what you think. There's no inherent guilt involved in your body for Old Testament people. And frankly, if you read the Bible, it says, so therefore go forth and enjoy the I don't have the exact words. I don't want to mash the Bible, but it's along the lines of enjoy your wife and enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's what God says for you to do. Basically, eat, drink, and be merry, for your time may soon come to an end. We're not taught to like sit and wait for the next world necessarily. On the other hand, many people sit and wait for the next world. Now, I don't know about you, Johnson, but I've been promised a lot of things in this world that never came. So I'm not sure that I'm going to wait for something in the next world. you talk about a con. I mean, let's talk about it. You got people lying to you left and right every day of the week. Sign here, do this, do that. And you know most of it's malarkey. Now the government's promising you health care. You're not going to get health care, schmuck. They're taking it from you, the worker, and giving it to the leech, in plain English. Look, let's level with each other. You want to level with each other? The bums in the country already have government health care. They walk into a hospital, they get it for nothing. The illegal alien who should be tossed out of this damn ear gets free health care. They get a nosebleed that costs you $30,000. They go in a hospital with 18 translators. Don't tell me about this lie. So who is it for? Who is Obama really beholden to with this desire to steal the greatest health care system the world has ever seen, despite its flaws? Who is it really for? Who is he giving this to? Well, let's add it up. He wants to make certain that the 30 million illegal aliens get a gold-plated health care without having to hide, without having to go underground. They can get heart transplants. They'll put them ahead of you. I mean, let's level with each other. Let's say a 25-year-old illegal alien, Gardner, falls and in some manner damages an internal organ. And he's on a transplant list now because he pierced his liver, and he's still living. And you're 60 years old, you're an Army veteran, you've put money into your country your whole life. Tell me who the bank is going to give a liver to, the illegal alien 25-year-old or you? If it's Obama's brother Rahm Emanuel's brother Ezekiel Emanuel, by what he has written, the 25-year-old illegal alien is going to get the liver, not you. So don't tell me I don't know what's going on. I do know what's going on. You don't know what's going on because you're a brainwashed moron. You don't know your arse from your elbow, most of you. You haven't the slightest idea what country you're living in. You don't have any idea where you are. You don't have any idea what's being taken from you because you never had freedom. Most of you are slaves, so you don't even know what freedom is. Guys like the MSNBC crowd, they're born slaves. They're slaves to their own victimhood, so they don't understand freedom. Now, this guy, Obama, the skinny smoker, wants to turn us into a third-rate banana republic to many, many people on the right. Let's level with each other. What's his name? Louis Farrakhan, the reliable source, the esteemed Louis Farrakhan, comes out over the weekend and has the nerve. Oh, did he do Obama a favor? Louis Farrakhan has the nerve to say only the white right is opposed to health care reform. Can you believe this? Only the white right? Well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Farrakhan, for really helping Obama. Okay, that's number one. Number two, do you really believe it's only the white right that is opposed to the health care scam that Pelosi is trying to pull off with a little help from a friend in the White House? I don't believe that. I believe that if they get the socialized medical program they're pushing for, after they've gotten your money, after they've gotten your personal choice, after they're going to get all of that, they're going to go after your guns and your property so that they can control you totally. You know that. Your freedoms are going to be down the tube. And why do they want to do that? Why does Obama want to do it? He wants to do it because he is the horse that we've all feared. He is the horse we have all feared that comes out of the netherworld. He is the horse that wants to take us into part of this one-world government. You say, oh, come on, one-world government. Well, let me ask you something. Use common sense. The border with Mexico. Why did Bill Clinton melt the border with Mexico? Why did George Bush put Ramos and Campion in jail for doing their jobs as Border Patrol agents? Why did George Bush go along with the New World Order, one-world government? Look, Bush was no different in so many ways. We've had 16 years of a New World Order regime in this country. I don't care whether it was called Clinton or Bush. Now we have a year of Obama, and take a look at the catastrophe he's thrown us into. Take a look at the catastrophic attack upon our freedoms that is occurring in this country. The loss of freedom of speech in this country is a breath away.
Savage.
All right, so you got Obama. They do the health thing on Obama, and it comes out he's addicted to cigarettes, to nicotine, and a little bit on the heavy on the drinking side. And he's lecturing everybody on healthy lifestyles. Now, usually first ladies are off limits to any commentary, but I'm sorry, I have to break with that policy for a minute. Because I thought it was absurd for Michelle Obama to be giving a lecture on low-fat diets for obvious reasons. I don't understand why people are blind. I mean, you didn't read The King Has No Clothes? These people are two fraud artists, in my opinion. But okay, you know, you people are so sold on this guy, you don't even know you're losing your freedoms. Whatever he says to you, you believe. There's a conspiracy to establish a one-world government. The infrastructure is in place. That's why even George Soros, who put the puppet in, got mad and he said, gee, he didn't nationalize the banks. See, even he got pissed off. He didn't move fast enough. But, you know, as I bicycle this morning past the little playground, I see the children playing, the little babies, the preschoolers with their mothers and mothers mainly. I listen to children running, and I love the sound of children. I've always lived near a school or a church most of my life, wherever I was. For some reason, like always in the background, I hear schoolyard or church bells, ever since I've been a kid. It's a part of my, you know, sense of civilization and order. I listen to the children's laughter and the running and the screaming in the sandbox, so to speak. And I say, children really don't change. They're the same. They're wonderful. They're free spirits. Some are nasty. Some are nice. Some are aggressive. Some are passive. Some are frightened. Some are not frightened. They're born that way, most of them. You can change them up to a certain point. But beyond that, most children are still what they always have been and what they will always be. But I look at the children. I listen to them. And a part of me says, oh, these poor children. I said, oh, God, I fear for these children. I fear for the preschool children today who will be the indentured servants of the future communist state of America, wholly dependent upon the future Obama for their livelihood, for their sustenance. Many of you are counting the Democrats and Obama out prematurely. Let me tell you that. You can mark this down for today's show. Okay, March 1st, 2010. I said it before, but I'll make it very clear today. Let me have you memorialize what I just said to you. This guy has only been in power 1 year. The thugs around them have only had maximum power for a year. The thugs around them have not yet maximized their grab over all of the aspects of society. The thugs around Obama will not only keep him in office for the 4 years, but if the Republicans continue to disrespect and to try to co-opt the Tea Party movement, Obama's going to win again, particularly if the schmuck Republicans run Sarah Palin. That's the end of the road. There's a few other on my list that if they run them, they're lost. It's over. I'm not ready to tell you who I know will lose, but I'll tell you right now, I know who they're going to run and who they're going to lose with. That's my opinion. Now, after Obama wins a second term, which let's say it happens, I can guarantee you either within this term or within the next term, he will grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens and all of their relatives, how many they want to bring in. Oh, yeah, he'll put them, yeah, but they're not supposed. I can guarantee you he will turn us into a third world nation overnight with the signing of a pen. The minute they do that, the Democrats have a supermajority amongst voters forever, for the rest of this century and beyond. And what they will do after that is they will eliminate term limits for the presidency. And you'll hear arguments after the seventh year to the effect of, in times of emergency, we need emergency edicts. We're therefore, with the stroke of a pen, eliminating term limits for the presidency because we need Obama for another 4 years. And we're liable to have this guy as a president for the rest of your life. You say it can't happen? I say it can happen. I would say that there's odds that it could happen. Let's put it to you that way. No one has a crystal ball, but I'm watching this man. I'm watching this narcissist. I'm watching this egomaniac, and I am watching the power-mad thugs around him, and I know this man's philosophy, and I'm telling you what I just said to you could happen. I didn't say it will. The man is not a master of deceit, by the way. He's a terrible salesman. He was a master of deceit during the campaign. Certainly, I didn't fall for it because I was raised on Abe Lincoln. I was raised in Abe Lincoln. My father taught me when I was 4 or 5 years old. Abe Lincoln said, he'd hold my hand, he'd say to me, he said, Michael, remember what I'm going to tell you, because a great president said this. And he said, you'll find it to be true your whole life. You can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Abe Lincoln. I never forgot it. Now, Obama fooled some of the people some of the time, and Obama's fooling some of the people all of the time, but Obama's not fooling all of the people all of the time. Now play Obama said there'd be a day like this, and I'll take a breather and come back in a second. I'd like to hear Obama said there'd be a day like this, because I want to hear it.
That's there'll be days like this, like there'll be days like this,
so Obama said. Obama said there'd be days like this, Obama said, Obama said, Obama said. All right, turn it up. Now, that's not funny, but it is in its own way. To me, it is. That's what's important. It's Monday. I got the thing in the mail with the cremate yourself. Why are they sending? How did they get my name? I guess it's by demographic age group. Oh, those sons of guns. They bought the Social Security numbers, those rats. So if you get anyone statistically over a certain age is ready for the plantation, either to be planted or burnt. Okay, New London, Connecticut. Rob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. I'm a funeral director, and even though I make a living from expensive funerals, I think burial is a huge waste of money and a huge waste of land. Most people don't realize it's based on the idea that we're all going to come back with our original bodies, which is why early Christians wanted to keep their bodies intact. From the time of Constantine around 400 AD to the 1700s, high-ranking Christians always wanted to be buried in churches inside the city walls, and public health officials were always fighting it. The churches must have smelled terrible with all those rotting corpses. I think the pre-Christians were right about a lot of things like bathing and cremation and not, you know, believing in original sin and guilt and all that. So that's my comment, Michael.
So in other words, you think we should disinter all the heroes at Arlington National Cemetery and what, turn the grave sites over to condos for legal aliens?
Well, I mean, I think it would free their souls.
I mean, we should take your logic and carry it to the next step. All Orthodox Jews should be arrested for being buried, right? And all of their ancestral rabbis should be disinterred and cremated in order to make way for the next wave.
Your soul gets stuck.
I mean, should burial be illegal? Should it become illegal under Obama? Is that what you're saying, Rob?
No, I just think it's dumb. I think your soul gets trapped in the earth. Cremation releases your soul.
But that's your belief. You're entitled to your belief. But how about the dummies who believe that they like to be buried? They should all listen to you?
If they don't want their soul to be trapped after they die, yeah, because I'm right.
Well, of course you're right, because you voted for Obama. He's right about everything, too.
I voted for Ron Paul.
Well, that's even crazier. I understand that. You may as well vote for the people in the green Hornet coming in from the next planet.
Well, I agree with a lot.
All right, so you want to be cremated when you die.
What's that?
You want to be cremated when you die?
Absolutely.
Okay, do you believe therefore that all people should be cremated?
I think they should be educated as to their options and understand the origins of the belief in burial is that it's...
All right, well, let's carry it to the next step. Should people be forced to be euthanized at a certain age because they're being kept alive and they're no longer useful and it's kind of a myth to live to a ripe old age? What age would you say people should be euthanized by the Obama administration? 60, 67, 70?
Choice. They should. I think Dr. Kevorkian is a great humanitarian, and I agree with him.
Hitler was a predecessor of Dr. Kevorkian. Hitler did a service for humanity. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you're playing the Hitler card, Michael. I mean, that's...
Well, it's not a Hitler card. He euthanized an entire race. He considered them to be parasites, like you are, saying people who want to be buried are fools. You're saying people who are old should be euthanized. So you're playing the Hitler card. You don't even realize how far you've fallen.
No, I mean, if you want to play the Hitler card, why did they change the signs at Auschwitz from 4 million to 1 million? And why do you still say 6 million?
Ah, you are a Holocaust denier. I knew it.
Well, you brought it up.
So who was it in your family who indoctrinated you in Nazism, dad or mom?
What are you calling me a Nazi for?
Well, I'm asking you, who in the family was the one who indoctrinated you in the way of the Third Reich? Was it dad or mom?
Well,
typically liberal laugh whenever you get trapped. So who was it? Grandpa? Was it Grandpa who wore the uniform? Which one?
Michael,
who had the revolving fireplace in your childhood home with all of the memorabilia? So you believe in euthanasia, you believe in no burial, you believe in everything that the New World Order socialists would believe in. How do you differ from the socialists of the 1930s?
I'm definitely
How far a step do you think it is from believing in euthanasia for the elderly who are sick into enforcing euthanasia upon people whether they want it or not? How far a step do you think that is?
Well, Michael, the economy's contracting. We're going to have to make difficult choices.
Yes, of course. Well, will you be the first to volunteer?
No, sir.
Well, you just said the economy's contracting. It's not contracting for me, so I don't need to make that choice. Maybe you do. So you should the unemployed be euthanized as well, since they're a waste?
I think it's going to be a matter of population attrition, because we're going into relentless economic contraction, if you know.
That's right, and while the stupid grandparents who we had worked through that depression by eating less and by getting on bread lines, you would think the next step, of course, would be euthanasia for millions, because they're useless.
The Great Depression was different conditions because we didn't have a contracting oil supply. You know, now
well, now you're changing the argument. What does oil have to do with the Great Depression of today? What does it have to do with the 1920s? You're just too lazy to understand that you have to do with less. You're not really in the funeral business, are you?
Yes.
You really are. And so you're going through a contraction now, is that it?
Economic contraction? Oh, absolutely. I mean, the people can't pay for these $10,000, you know, fancy Cadillac funerals, and a lot of people are just going for direct cremation. You know, you go pick up the body.
Are you in that field as well? Do you offer that as a sideline?
Cremation? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on the family.
And how much is your service for burial as opposed to cremation?
Well, a burial can go from anywhere from $4,000, you know, and up. But a direct cremation is about $1,800. So
and what if they want a little necrophilia on the side? How much? Well, it shouldn't stop you, though. I mean, some of the other things you've suggested, such as euthanasia, are crimes in my mind, but that wouldn't stop you and the people from Oregon.
Well, euthanasia...
People in your field have a morbid sense of humor. Do you play with the corpses in any way? Do you, like, roll their heads around, things like of that nature?
Absolutely not. That would be unprofessional, and that's a very inappropriate question, Dr. Savage.
Well, I don't care whether it's inappropriate. You answered it, though, didn't you? How come you answered it if it's inappropriate?
It's immature.
Oh, now you're going to judge my maturity. You're sitting here telling me I should go along with euthanasia, and I'm the immature one.
Well, it all began with cremation, and then you became rather...
And where did...
I did a degree in mortuary science from Briarwood College in Southington, Connecticut.
Wow, that must have been very exciting. What is there, like one professor who teaches that with no oversight?
Why are you making fun of it? I mean, the funeral director.
What do you mean mortuary science? What kind of rubbish is that, mortuary science? What do you mean mortuary science? What kind of science is there? Everything's science. Al Gore has science, too. We know how much that's worth. We had Al Gore to go to school in climatology. Where did he get his degree in climatology? The same place you got your degree in mortuary science from Southern, you know, Connecticut mortuary school.
Yeah, in Southington, Connecticut. It's a great field.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great. What, you just said it's a dying field. Now it's a great field.
It's dying. It's a very fulfilling line of work, but it is economically contracting.
Well, what is fulfilling about mortuary science?
Well, you know, you deal with bereaved families, grieving families, and
So you're an expert on bereavement. You know how to make them feel better. What are you giving them? The balloons and the little dolls, the little stuffed animals. Is that it?
No, but I mean, I did take a course in death and dying, you know, and the...
Oh, you're an expert on death and dying, then. I bet you read Kubler-Ross's book, too.
Yeah, Kubler-Ross, right, Dabda.
Yeah, you didn't think old Doc Savage knew about Kubler-Ross, huh? What else did you read there in Mortuary Science 101?
We saw Holocaust movies, you know, and...
And of course, they were all made up by the Zionists, right? The Holocaust movies. That was all made up by the U.S. Army. In fact, they were all actors, right? All the soldiers who broke into Auschwitz and actually saw the ovens were actors. Is that correct?
Well, I think Schindler's List was made in black and white so that the dummies would think they were watching actual footage of the Holocaust. Don't you?
So you're saying the Holocaust didn't exist. Is that where you're coming from?
Well, no, but I mean, I'm wondering how come the story is so, isn't, you know, the story keeps changing. You know, like from 4 million on the Auschwitz gate to 1 million.
I don't know. I think you ought to go to a nearby synagogue and tell the Jews they're liars, that there wasn't a Holocaust, since you know so much from your studies in mortuary science. Apparently, you're also an expert in history. Did you take a course in the history of the Holocaust at your school of mortuary science?
No, I studied it at...
Oh, you picked that up on the internet under a Nazi site and you became an expert in the Holocaust.
Well, Michael, I was wondering... You know, do you think that Jews on average are exactly as honest as Gentiles on average?
I couldn't answer that. What do you think? Because your question's quite loaded.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's averages. Just as the average man is taller than the average woman, I believe the average Jew is less honest than the average Gentile.
And what do you base that upon? The fact that Jews don't go for your malarkey? So they become dishonest because... They don't believe the lies you tell them? That makes them dishonest?
Well, I mean, look at all the Jews in the financial frauds, you know, in the, like Bernie Madoff.
And, of course, without the Jews in the financial sector, you wouldn't be able to make a living, would you? You wouldn't even have a dollar. You'd be trading mortuary science for a bushel of wheat. You wouldn't have a financial system, was it not, for the geniuses in the financial sector.
I think we'd have
But to you, they're all crooks because there's so many Jews in the financial sector, right?
Well, a lot of them are crooks, indeed. I think on average...
But wait, did you pick that up on the side, or was that one of your required courses in the School of Morticians in Southern Connecticut? The Nazi, who also teach you about the Jews in that school?
No, the School of Life has taught me about the Jews, Michael.
The School of Life. Oh, so you were born a Nazi. You were indoctrinated as a mortician. So it goes back again. Was it Dad or was it Mom who first introduced you to the beauties of the Third Reich? You still won't answer the fundamental question.
It was Henry Ford's book, The International Jew, that first opened my eyes.
Ah, it was Henry Ford's book, another great man. Great, great man. I'll be right back. Stay in the line. Great conversation.
Savage.
Well, I'm sorry to report that our mortuary scientist hung up immediately after I invited him to stay on. Apparently, he had a hot intellectual genius and his knowledge of history. Lisa in Hawaii, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You crack me up. I came home from work early because I had a terrible headache. I turn you on. I got
tears running down my face. I'm laughing so hard. When you did the mortuary science and the Al Gore's climate science, I just about fell out.
Well, I mean, the guy started off with a semi-rational argument against burial. But before long, he brought up the Holocaust. And I know the minute he brought it up, he was a crypto, if not overt, a Nazi. And he denied it. And then at the end, when he was losing the argument on all other fronts, he then went into that whole area, didn't he? And then he ran away.
Yeah, you're amazing. You pegged him for an anti-Semite from the start. God bless you, sir.
No, thank God. Bless God, not me. I'm just a vehicle. I'm an old vehicle. I'm an ancient vehicle. I got a little bit of mileage on the tires, but the vehicle's still able to go pretty quickly. Talk about quickly, man. Last night I had fun in my car. Oh, I can't tell you. That's illegal. Can't talk about it. Oh, yeah. Speeding on a country road when no one's around. It could be great. I didn't hit anybody. Didn't hit anything. I was only drinking Diet Coke. But speed is beautiful. Engines are great. Why do I love engines so much? Because I'm an American. We love engines. We're addicted to engines and power. We love engines. We love fossil fuels, man. They're great. I know the day is going to come when we're going to be running on, like, you know, solar energy, but we'll be going at 13 miles an hour on a freeway. I hope I'm not here at that time. You know what I'm saying? I like big engines, big boats, big cars. I don't like little anything. And speaking of big, this is a big, big topic, and we're going to talk about it again when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Okay, they're all happy to hear Blue Monday. They know that the world is good. They know that there's a heaven on earth and that there's a sun at the center of our solar system and that Michael Savage is on planet Earth and that it's the time of day that they've come to expect to hear Blue Monday. So the world is perfect. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So in the first hour, we're primarily talking about a piece of junk mail that I received, which I was about to throw out, entitled, whatever, to my name, address, and the bottom it said, free, prepaid cremation, details inside. And I was afraid it had come from the Obamacare administration, and that soon that they would have required cremation of anyone over a certain age. In fact, then enforced cremation, because it's good for the earth, and it's good for the children. And it's the green way to go. Now, we woke up this morning and we read that Obama, you know, had medical tests by the quacks at Walter Reed, the same quacks who killed Rep. Murtha, who was supposed to believe are the best doctors in the country. Did you ever catch that one? We're led to believe that Congress has the best medical care of all of us. Yet one of the quack surgeons cut Murtha's gut while they were, like, taking out his gallbladder. I mean, he had a lot of bile, God rest his soul. So they're trying to remove the excess bile from this bilious man. And one of the quacks at Wallen and killed poor Rep. Murtha. But now we hear that the president has had a series of medical tests. You know, all the president, you get the report. A, he's addicted to nicotine, and B, he's boozing a little too much. Now, they didn't put it that way. I don't know how they let this out, but they said he should drink less. And that, now, how is this guy holding himself up as an expert on health care if he's addicted to cigarettes and alcohol? Well, it gets worse. His wife, now, again, I realize that we're crossing a certain line here. But there comes a time when you have to speak up. And when a first lady becomes positions, I'm sorry, someone has to speak out on it. This just came out minutes ago, I swear to God. This is the headline. First Lady Michelle Obama credits school cafeteria programs for bolstering national security. First Lady Michelle Obama said at the School Nutrition Association conference today that individuals who work in school cafeterias across the country not only educate and feed children, but help to strengthen national security. So in other words, your son who may be serving in Afghanistan is now equal to the cafeteria worker in your elementary school. I don't know who's writing this stuff. These two are out of control. I mean, Barry and Michelle are going to go down in history. Either they're going to have absolute power and rewrite all the history books, or they're going to be laughed out of the White House and be remembered for what they are. Two naive people who are pushed forward their whole lives, got positions they were never entitled to, and now that they're in the most powerful positions on earth, making schmucks of themselves, in plain English, and wrecking the whole country to go with it. That's one man's opinion. I know it's a little outspoken. I realize that. It's supposed to be hushed. It's supposed to speak in hushed tones. I was not a fan of Laura Bush either with the library front. Okay, Laura Bush gave me the chills. While her old man was president, over those 8 years, I wrote one bestseller after another. She was the librarian, never mentioned one of my books. They were all conservative smash bestsellers. But Laura Bush mentioned books like, you know, Amending Wall or something like that. Or whatever. I don't remember the book she recommended. I don't care whether she recommended my books or not. The point is, how could she ignore a best-selling conservative author like Michael Savage? Answer. Because they're not conservatives. Any other questions? I've got the answers. Oh, it's only Monday. I'm burning up already. Okay. First Lady links childhood obesity to national security. And she compares cafeteria workers to U.S. Marines. Wow, I knew it would be bad under these libs. I never knew it would get this bad this fast. It's crazy. You have a reasonable intelligence. These people are nuts. Who would compare a cafeteria worker to a U.S. Marine in essence? She said it today. First Lady Michelle Obama said at the School Nutrition Association Conference in Washington, D.C. tonight that individuals who work in school cafeterias across the country not only educate and feed children, but will help to strengthen national security. So I guess they're trying to go out for the cafeteria vote now. Think of how many illegal aliens work in cafeterias, those little white nets on their head. So they're now heroes? Maybe they can qualify for burial in Arlington National Cemetery after they die of obesity or stupidity. They can be buried in Arlington because they're helping national security. Obama said, every day with the food you serve, you're teaching them these critical lessons about nutrition and healthy eating. You're shaping their habits and their preferences, and you're affecting the choices that they're going to make for the rest of their lives, said Michelle Obama. Said food workers are shaping the future of this country. Ugh, wow, that's amazing. I had no idea there were so many heroes in the cafeterias. All that tomato soup, and when I was a kid in the Bronx, I hated tomato, smell of tomato soup. When I went in the cafeteria, I would retch from it, that smell of institutional soup. See, in my day, they actually cooked the food. It wasn't brought in like a tray from McDonald's or wherever they bring it in from. Marriott Food Catering. In my day, they had like weird-looking women. Like, they were like out of like mental institutions working. Remember they looked like those dietitian nutritionists. They didn't call dietitians. They worked in like the school kitchens. They were scary women. They were very pasty. They all looked like that they were like devil worshippers to me. I never wanted to touch any of their food, whatever they made. But that smell of the tomato soup. As I entered the PS49 in the Bronx, I think, whatever I went to. I go to the cafeteria like instant smacko migraine the minute I walked into the, that smell of the tomato soup. I mean, if you're repainting your car, okay, you take a quart home, spill it on the hood, wipe it in, and like, you know, it's Miracle Wipe, takes the paint right off. I don't know what they put in there. It must have been like excess government tomatoes from Italy or something after the war. That they bought tomatoes from the Italian. Who knows? They bought them underground tomatoes. How could she compare cafeteria workers with military? Now, here's the punchline. You're not going to believe this. She says they should give up dessert. And what's interesting is that there's a video that came out today where Robert Gibbs, the human gefilte fish who works for Obama, Robert Gibbs, said that the president likes desserts. So now, if his wife is pushing healthy eating, and he is like a chain smoker, a bit of a boozer, according to the report, and he eats desserts. I mean, the Let's Move campaign also aims to eliminate food desserts with the $400 million a healthy food financing initiative, which will bring grocery stores to communities without them and help convenience stores already in those neighborhoods offer healthier food choices. You're telling me minority neighborhoods, they want healthy food choices? They want tofu? They don't want potato chips, cigarettes, and a six-pack? Yeah, all right. What, are they going to require them now to have a tofu break in the slums of America? See, this is what I'm talking about. Why don't you let people have what they want? They're poor. Okay, they don't have very much. They want to have some salt and some sugar and some nicotine and some tobacco. Leave them alone. Don't enforce this on them. But this is what this is liberal socialism of the benign kind. You know, the do-gooders? They're good do-gooders. We're gonna teach you what's good for you. Whether you like it or not, you're going to do it because it's good for you. Sandy in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, I think Obama, maybe he should go for some junket rent cuts, and it's not so bad. Also, that Schmendrick Nazi apprentice.
What's your comment?
I just wanted to thank you for your commitment to all of us out here that are.
I know. I'm the voice of the voiceless, and when you get a Nazi calling this show, you got to stand up to them. I know.
Waiting for you to lower the boot.
I saw it coming from a mile away. The minute he started, he's in favor of this, and they're not in favor of that, and burials this. I saw where he was coming from.
The cop is
so, Sandy, are you going to be buried or cremated in Fort Lauderdale?
I'm going to Mount Bilboa. What do you think?
Where's that? Where's Mount Bilboa?
Thin. But just on the way to New York off of Route 3 with the rest.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. There's a Mount who?
It's the Jewish cemetery. All my family's buried in Mount Gilboa.
Oh, don't give it away. Maybe that funeral guy will call and see if he can turn it into home, you know, housing for the homeless. It's crazy. Look, Sandy, we are living through crazy times, are we not?
We are, sir.
Sandy, in all your life, are you a man over 60?
I'm born in 51. I'm 58, sir.
All right, so you're a man over 50, 55. You've been around your sixth decade of life. Have you lived through a crazier time than this administration?
Aside from the 60s, not at all. It wasn't even crazier than this.
It wasn't, because at least we had a stable president. Even though LBJ was a diehard big society liberal, he was not nuts. And he was not trying to push us into overt communism, was he?
No.
No, he was a mainstream Democrat liberal, LBJ. But this guy is not a mainstream Democrat liberal. This guy is a naked fill-in-the-blank, whatever you want to say.
I can't figure this guy out. He's beyond belief. He's scary. He's scary. Right. And I know from scary. He's a fright.
How do you know from scary? Why do you know from scary?
Pardon?
You said you know from scary. Why?
I've been around.
Go ahead. Now you got my injury. You've been to who?
I've experienced a lot in life that is both health wise and life wise very, very scary. My wife suffered a meningioma. I shouldn't even get into that. Nobody's interested. Everybody has their own. But
so you're saying personal tragedies, medical catastrophes in your life?
Absolutely.
I thought it was something juicier, like you were in the, you know, in organized crime or something. You could tell us some interesting stories.
I wouldn't be able to tell you if I was.
Oh, come on. I didn't mean that in a nasty way. You know, I'm just pulling your sleeve.
I know.
Sandy, you're a good-natured guy. I hope your wife has a speedy recovery. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Bipartisanship is a two-way street. But let me say this. The bill can be bipartisan, even though the votes might not be bipartisan.
Because now, that's Nancy Lugosi saying a bill can be bipartisan even though it's not bipartisan. Now, you talk about the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. We know that there are tea parties out there that are legitimate. But Nancy Pelosi is the head of the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. I've never heard anything like this woman. Is she getting crazier by the week? Listen to clip 10 in an interview with Vargas, whoever that is. I think she's from ABC. Listen to clip 10. You're not going to believe this.
Committee on Charles Rangel said that he has violated the House gift rule. How can he remain in such a powerful position as chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, given the fact that there are further pending ethics investigations and this public admonishment has taken place?
Well, it is a public admonishment. It said he did not knowingly violate House rule, so that gives him some comfort.
Did you hear that? This woman is astounding. Remember what I told you? I once went like 35 to 25 when I was a kid driver, 16, 17. So I figured I was a wise guy. I talked to the judge. What did I know? Walk into court, blah, 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 somewhere in Jamaica, sweaty summer day. I was warned by my lawyer not to do it. A lawyer, some guy filled out forms in the family. He says, don't be silly. So I go before the judge. I'm shaking. I was scared to death. I said, Your Honor, I was not aware that it was a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit and a 20. He cut me right off. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. $50, now get the hell out of here. That was my introduction to ignorance of the law. But apparently Nancy Pelosi doesn't know about ignorance of the law is no excuse. She just said he didn't know that it was a violation of the House rules, so it doesn't count. How could you tolerate this level of banana republic corruption? Wow, this is amazing. She's getting wackier by the day. I thought it wouldn't be possible. She's been a laughingstock from the beginning. Okay, that's a given. This came to me from a fellow talker who's a liberal, by the way, listens to my show. I'm not going to identify her. We never met, but she emails me and I email her. She says, that school lunch rant was brilliant. I was just screaming laughing while I was shaping my meatloaf. I think it's crooked now. I was laughing so hard. That was funny. I know I got into the zone. With the school lunch people. No, they weren't. They don't have them anymore, right? Now they're like basically from San Quentin. This new crop isn't even like wacky. I mean, they give ex-cons jobs. With the, they make movies and like how to work. I don't believe they got to have a job. Look, nothing wrong with that. But they're all voters. Motor voters, you know. They're motor voters. So here we are. That smell of the chicken. I can still smell it. There was another smell that got me sick as a child. I'm thinking of like I'm doing my Proustian olfactory now. There's another smell from childhood that comes back. It's like Campbell's chicken noodle soup. It's like a mixed feeling. One homey, friendly, the other side like MSG-ish, no good, not equal to my mother's soup, which always gave me a migraine. And any soup that didn't give me a migraine, I didn't trust. Courtesy of Buddy Hackett. Now, he put it another way. I was raised on such bad food that I had no idea that food was, I didn't know what good food was. If food did not leave me slightly dyspeptic with a migraine, I thought it was a bad meal. It was so awful. I mean, it was high cholesterol, high salt. Impossible to believe they could feed a child food like that and not go to prison, you know, for child endangerment. I mean, you talk about school. It's no wonder I got a PhD in nutrition. I was like running for my life to try to figure out what had been done to me the previous 25 years. If you took a lab animal, let's say the arterial system in an animal that's closest to man is a pig or a rabbit, as I understand it, because I know that Dr. McCulley at Harvard used rabbits in the 1950s to induce atherosclerosis. He denied them vitamin B6. He diminished their diets in B6 and almost immediately gave them a hardening of the arteries. You don't know about that. Your doctor doesn't want you to know it. He only wants to put you on Lipitor so you become a cripple and need arthritis drugs after you take the Lipitor-related compounds. He's not walking around like your uncle, you know, with a killer. So Dr. McCulley used the rabbit. But if you took a rabbit or a pig and you put them, God rest the soul, on the diet I ate as a child, the animal's dead in 6 months. So it's actually a miracle. I mean, I must have some superpowers that I could overcome what I was force-fed. From childhood, foods that my body rejected. Even milk I hated. I hated milk. You have to have your milk. They put a clown thing on top of the glass of milk for me to drink it. I was gagging on it. I had to look at an ugly... And I hated clowns. And then those movies came out. I was always right about clowns.
Savage.
The Tea Party movement. Do you think it'll be a force to be reckoned with? You had said last summer that it was a faux grassroots movement. You called it the AstroTurf movement.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Is the Tea Party movement a force?
No. What I said at the time is that there were the Republican Party directs a lot of what the Tea Party does, but not everybody in the Tea Party takes direction from the Republican Party. And so there was a lot of, shall we say, astroturf as opposed to grassroots.
I'm floored by this woman's either naivete or absolute lack of intelligence. It's hard to know what this woman is talking about from minute to minute. This reporter Vargas for ABC says to her earlier, how could Charlie Rangel still have power despite violating House's gift rules? And Pelosi says that Rangel did not knowingly violate House rules, so it gives him some comfort. Okay. Now, people in the Tea Party movement are astroturf, not real grassroots. To her, real grassroots would be people busting from, let's say, Mexico. That's real grassroots support for Democrats. Or real grassroots supports, not astroturf, would be felons voting 3 to 5 times. Or real grassroots support for Democrats would come from Acorn, let us say. But astroturf would be anybody supporting the Constitution to Nancy Pelosi. Here's a sad story. Just came out a minute ago. Dateline, Montesano, Washington. I don't know where that is. Washman electrocuted by urinating on power line. Authorities believe a Washington man was killed by accidentally urinating on a downed power line after car crash. Grays Harbor County Sheriff's Deputy Dave Pimentel. Pimentel. See, then they have to phoneticize now everything because we have so many illiterates in the country that AP now, makes you can like phonetically spell everything now since most people don't speak English or read Associated Press. So they spell out names. Pim said Monday 50-year-old Roy Messenger was not seriously hurt after he collided with a power pole Friday and called a relative to pull his car from a ditch. However, family members found Messenger electrocuted when they arrived. Pimentel says Messenger apparently urinated into a roadside ditch but didn't see the live wire. The urine stream likely served as a conductor, allowing the electricity to reach his body. Pimentel says there will be an autopsy, but burn marks indicated the way the electricity traveled through Messenger's body. Okay, our sympathies go out to the Messenger family. I sincerely mean that. That could happen to anybody after a car wreck. I mean, if you don't see a buried power line, you know, scared, you got to relieve yourself. That's it. That's the end of your life. Here's a little story from the San Francisco area. As you well know, we're swimming with homeless bums. The streets are broken, et cetera, and so on. Gorgeous city. We all love it. And run by liberal psychos, tax us to death and don't use any of the money except for their cronies, you know, the patronage positions. Voters are split on whether to approve a $937 million stadium for the 49ers, a poll shows. You hear? Wait, let me repeat that. Santa Clara 50-50 on a $937 million stadium for the 49ers. In a time like this, they're going to build a sports team, a billion-dollar stadium? That's amazing. UC students protest budget cuts and fee hikes. Well, so what do you want from me? You don't like it? Who, you want me to pay for your tuition? So you can study like marijuana 101 and sex starvation 103? Axeman stars daughter mauled to death by dog. What is this? Every day there's another reality show. Axeman, a logger now, is a movie star. A stupid fat slob in Repo is a movie star. Started with those louts from Hawaii with that wife of his. My God. It's like Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey reality shows, isn't it? I mean, Ringling Brothers, you know, basically went out of business because they have A&E. There's no need for, like, freak shows. One, what's this with Repo Men? The women are 470 pound. Ooh, God. What's this Repo thing? How could you think of Repo Man as a hero? I don't like Repo Men. I always feel for the car, person whose car is getting ripped off. I'm always on there. They're staged anyway. How tough he is, and I did this to him, and I threw that. Come on, he's a gorgeous George. Don't tell me. The real tough guy's 147-pound Irishman, 5'10". Gives you one punch, that gorgeous George goes down like a ton of hair dye. I'm talking here. I'm having a good time. It's Monday. I'm not going to eat my heart out over Obama. The guy's a fraud. Everyone knows it. Everybody knows it. They all know it's a fake. Nobody wants health care except the illegal aliens, the grifters inside the administration. Even the seniors in America are frightened to death about Obamacare because they know that they have more than they deserve. You want me to level with you? You don't think we need health care reform? Of course we do. But you're not going to get the kind of health care reform we need. I've called for health care reform, tort reform, rein in the lawyers, medical malpractice caps. You want to get serious? Number two, no health care for illegal aliens. Put a cop, put a highway patrolman in every emergency room. No citizenship. Sorry, go home. Go to your home country. Get the care you need. Goodbye. Number two, that's a $1 trillion a year right there. You don't hear that being discussed by the smoker, do you? The skinny smoker? And then the cafeteria and chief department there, the other one? That's real health care reform. Now let's go down the list. Now we're going to get a little touchy now. Now all of you are going to get mad at me. The seniors listening to this show who don't want it, you know why you don't want it? Because you never had it so good. You got a cringe here, you go to a back guy. You got a cringe in the head, you go to a head guy. You got one there, you go to a behind guy. You got one there, you go to a front guy. All for free. You never had it so good. Whoever had doctors like this for nothing? You know, I was sleeping last night, I got a little pain in the side of my ear. You go to an ear guy. He looks in the ear, puts an MRI, another $10,000 later, he tells you to go home and take an antihistamine. You go to the eye guy with the same complaint, the next week it had migrated to the eye. He tells you to go home, take an antihistamine, and $12,000 later, et cetera, and so on. Whoever heard of all of these specialists feeding off frightened old ninnies, frightened old senior ninnies? Every cringe, every touch, a breast hurt, they run, a head, a creak, a groan. Normal aging now is considered an illness. And there's 50 quacks lined up to take your, you know, to build the government. Of course that has to be reined in. You got people in this country who don't work. Let's start with that from the get-go. They have no job. They're either retired or they never worked. Their whole job is going to doctors, seeing how many they can get, how many doctors they can get for free out of the system. I'm not making this up. Think about why. Let's say they get 2-3 doctors a week, if not more. Could be more, could be 2 a day. For free now. You know, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, this aid, that aid, you're paying. So they come up, they have like a dossier on themselves. And they line up the doctors, have appointments every day. It's like you go to work, you have appointments like with clients. They have appointment with this allergist, that lab. I'm going to go to the lab, then I'm going to go to him, then I'm going to the lawyer because the allergist didn't look at me the right way I went in. He looked at me, but he didn't exactly touch me. Then he touched me, and it was a sexually aggressive touch. And I'm thinking of a sexual lawsuit. On the other hand, the other one didn't touch me, and I'm going to sue him because he didn't touch me. And part of healing is touching, not looking. And although he didn't touch, he should have touched, while the other one touched too much. And I know the difference, and I know a judge down in Broward County who does these kinds of cases. His brother-in-law takes them in before him, and they're going to definitely, if it's too much of a touch or too little of a touch, we can bring it before Judge Touchstein, and Judge Touchstein is going to definitely make certain that I get paid back for too much or too little of touching. That's what they're day and night, lawyers and doctors, doctors and lawyers. So, of course, we need health care reform. You got to rein them in. You want me to go back to my poor parents? I mean, I don't want to tell the story, you know. I don't want to make a mockery of it. They had their care. The early year, we had to pay for it. It wasn't fun. I remember my father was the only breadwinner. Mother was a homemaker. God bless her. That's why we had a beautiful home and a family. Otherwise, I never would have done homework. If she wasn't at home making me do homework, I probably would have wound up a politician. As a result, she made me do homework, so I had to go to school forever for 500 years. But she drilled it into my head, go to school, school is good, school is good. But it's because she was a homemaker. There's always a meal to make sure the arteries are getting clogged sufficient. Like when you want to make pate, you got to make sure that you grind into the duck with the food into the goose. And as they make pate, they fatten the liver of the goose. I don't know, what was she trying to make pate? Out of me? Out of my liver? I don't know. Well, let's put that aside. Maybe my mother had an idea that I was a goose and she wanted to make liver out of me. Pate out of my liver. I don't get it. But God bless her, she was home, a homemaker. So Dad was a principal earner. Gets a heart attack. Terrible. Terrible, terrible thing because there was no money now. Sad. I can't make a mockery of the thing like this. Heart attack, oxygen tent. Never forget it as long as I live. Monticello Hospital's like scared to death. And the cardiology, there was no cardiology really in those days. I guess there was. It was like the age of Paul Dudley White, Dwight D. Eisenhower's cardiologist. Remember, Dwight had a heart attack, so it was like very big, you know, like how he got treated. This and that. So my poor father's in the hospital. No money is coming in. And the doctor gives us like a report. I mean, we were scared. I mean, we loved our fathers. He tells the children. Well, it's like a blowout on a highway. We have put a patch on the tire, but we don't know how long it will hold. I never slept again. To this day, I don't sleep. Every night, I lay awake waiting for the patch to fall off. You know, what a thing to tell a child, man. There was no thought of the devastation on a child's head. Great. You put a patch on his tire, on the tube, and it could blow out again. Terrific. Thank you. I never slept again. At a little house, I laid in my room, and I laid awake. I swear. So I got super hearing from, I think. I laid awake in my little bedroom. It's the size of a bed only, a single bed, and like a dresser. It was like an SRO, my bedroom, and that did like a house, a little, like attached brick house. Like my bedroom was the smallest, the size of a bed, and if you walked sideways, there was a desk for the study, like Arbeit macht frei. You had to sit there at the desk and study, whatever. You slept, you studied, and you went to the toilet and school. That was your life. And then when you were strong enough, you went to work for the family in some way, so you helped carry. And why not? No, I should stay home like my friends who wound up lawyers. Anyway, the point is, the doctor says the tube with the tire could blow out, and it'll be $100 a week. I want to tell you what $100 then is, $1,000, $1,500 today, roughly. 10, 15 times the dollar. Like they used to say, yesterday's 60 is today. Today's 60 is yesterday's 40 or whatever it is. Yeah, like you're 40 if you're 60. Like if you're 60, it's supposed to be like a 40, or your father was 40, it's like he was 6, whatever. Who remembers these stupid things like a dog lives 7 years in dog's age, and there's T-shirts in stores and Boca Raton that say in dog's years, I'm dead. I mean, very funny stuff like that. I try to do these computations, whatever it is. So let's say 100 a week then was a lot of money. Let's put it to you that way, right? There's like average income was $100 a week for a middle-class family. The doctor's going to take 100 a week, and he's not even going to be there. I swear to God, he's coming once a day for like 3 minutes and look at him in the bed. And then there's the hospital bills and no income. So consequently, there was no income. And it's a long recovery. They didn't send them back. Like today, whenever you get sick, they send you home 3 days later and tell you to have sex and play tennis. I know a guy had a heart attack. They put a stent in and said, go home and pray, conduct your life normally. I said, what moron doctor did you go to? Where was this, a Kaiser Hospital? What do you mean go back to your normal life, schmuck? You're going to eat porterhouse steaks and dessert? What, and take a Lipitor? What, the doctor should be taken out and put into... What do you mean? Whatever happened, you had a heart attack, relax for a while. Where'd it come up and go resume your life, moron? That's all, you had a heart attack, you idiot. What do you mean resume the very lifestyle that caused the heart attack? So guys now in their 30s, they don't eat fat, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they run and they get heart attacks in their 30s. They don't know why. It's called stress, Johnson. Who could live like that? Running is abnormal. What human being runs except a mad American or European who thinks they're going to live forever? Take a look at the Iraqis. They know how to live. They all got fats. They all got beans on them like a size 60 stomach. I guarantee that their lifespan, aside from murder, is longer than ours. They probably eat a lamb a piece a week. I can guarantee you, a lamb a piece, they probably kill it with their bare hands. You ever see the size of those Iraqis? We saved all of them. They're alive. They scare the hell out of me. We say, so it's 100 a week. 100 a week, no money coming in, so I have to drop out of college. I never told you that. I did. My junior year, I dropped out to help in the store. Oh, I would tell you what went on in that store from all the good customers and the friends who came in with the false tears. Oh, your father, how is he? Oh, by the way, he promised me that pair of lamps over there. He said I can get him anytime. They were trying to get it for nothing. You can't believe it. It's like, I don't know, cynical. I don't know reality. Even as a youngster, I knew they were trying to rob me. Oh, how's your father? I hope he's okay. Oh, by the way, put aside that necklace in the thing, the pearls. And he said, the receipt is there, and I don't need it. I'll take it home. Your dad may rest. I hope he's fine. The whole thing I saw, what people will do, you know, with weakness. It's the human condition. I'm not mad at them. It's humans. Human beings are no good, basically. We're all no good. The Christians have it right. I believe in original sin. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Yo, welcome back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I found more in the garbage from the Cremation Society. Yes, I want to know more about my pre-need cremation plans. It says, we must have your phone number to determine which plan fits your family needs, and you have to put your age in. I'm thinking of putting down age 15 with a phone number and have one of these shyster cremation artists give me a call. And I say to them, look, I'm only 15. I don't want my mother to know. Can you arrange it, please? I want to see what happens. I can record that conversation. Anyway, the take-home stuff to remember today, because this was good stuff. You had Nancy Pelosi saying to a reporter that the reason Rangel is still in power despite violating House gift rules is that he did not knowingly violate House rules, so it gives him comfort. Now, this is the Speaker of the House giving Charlie Rangel a pass because he didn't know the law. You hear this? He writes tax law for America, but he doesn't know the law. Then Pelosi's asked about the Tea Party movement, whether it's real. She says, no, it was AstroTurf, as opposed to real grassroots. So to her, real grassroots would be ACORN, illegal aliens that they bust from poll to poll to get reelected. That's their idea of real grassroots support. You're talking about cactus roots. Yes, okay, I got to understand it. And we didn't, what else were we going to do? Oh, then Michelle Obama, this is the best. This was shocking. This was actually shocking how this passes for, no one laughs at this. You know, there's a limit to how much you can take of hogwash. Michelle Obama gives a speech today to Cafeteria Workers Association of the World Unite, because there's a lot of voters there. Got an awful lot of people who, you know, whew. And she says to them, they're doing great for the children, and they're doing their role in national security by teaching children good nutrition. So they're like equal to the U.S. Marines in Afghanistan, like snipers. Like a sniper on a rooftop in Afghanistan is the same as a cafeteria worker to these two college Leninists. Unreal. I feel like I'm back in college with them. I was like, you know, like Michelle and Barry are like, they're like the college teachers, you know, you have to put up with till you graduate or till you get out of the course. Yeah, all right, sure. Okay, right. Yeah, the white man's no good. Right. Racism. We gave everyone AIDS. All right. There you go. Everyone who's a person of color is oppressed. All right. All right. Yeah. All right. Sure. Right. That'll be on your final exam. What else? Reparations in the form of health care. Okay. Sure. Right. The earth is dying. The polar bears are falling off the ice caps. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Global warming. I believe. Sure. It's like you can't wait to get out of this course. The problem is it doesn't end in June. This guy's only been there a year. You're like in a four-year re-education camp with Michelle and Bear. Now it's national security and cafeteria workers. The women who give out like the pre-made dog food from the food service department to your children are now equal to the U.S. Marines. I would play like, I guess they're going to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Cafeteria workers and hero Marines, all the same to the Obama college crowd. Unbelievable what goes on. Strange things are happening. So therefore, in lieu of making any other inane comments about the Obamas, I want to play a little bit, because the reporter's name was Vargas, who interviewed Pelosi. I want to play the character Vargas from the great movie A Touch of Evil. Do we have that ready, Phil? This is just good. It's just good. That's a cue. Of course, you don't have it. So I'll add a little
bit. What's my fortune? You've been reading the cards, haven't you?
I've been doing the accounts.
Come on, read my future for me.
You haven't got any.
What do you mean?
Your future is all used up.
Oh!
Why don't you go home?
Oh, God, man. That, of course, is the great Orson Welles. I have discussed this in intimate detail in a way that only a film professor could discuss what he just did. When he says, well, he goes from the confident to the frightened in one gesture. Now that's acting. Now compare that to the Hollywood sluts, the celebutards, who fall on the ground puking on themselves and call themselves actresses. That's acting. That's drama. That's theater. That's educational. And of course, the message is more important. What? Go home. Your future is all used up. That's my message to the Democrat Party.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Blue Monday on the Savage Nation.
Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
Well, you're not going to believe this. You think you had a bad Monday. Well, here's what I got in my mail this morning. I'm going through the junk mail, sitting there since Saturday. I'm looking at to throw it out. I know it's just, you know, junk mail. I'm about to throw this one out. I look at the bottom and it says, free prepaid cremation, exclamation point. Details inside. I said, what? They've got to be kidding. Where'd they get my name from? Well, I was afraid to flip over the envelope to see the return address, you know, because I was afraid it would say courtesy of the U.S. government. So I thought, is this the latest in Obamacare? They target conservatives with envelopes on prepaid cremation? Well, then I started thinking about the satirical possibility. This will be the ultimate Obamacare for all of the old hippies. It'll have a slogan that goes with it on television from the government, of course. It's the right thing to do. It's the green thing to do. Free government cremation. Do it. Do it for your neighbors. Do it for yourself. Do it for the children. And do it for the earth. Have yourself cremated at age 60. The cost is free. And donate your ashes for organic compost. Details on this green cremation from the U.S. government inside. Of course, there'd be disclaimers. This offer applies only to the white wing. All others will get Obamacare until the age of 110. Of course, I realized this was only a fantasy. Well, I proceeded to open the envelope. Details will follow. Just one of the details to follow will be the money changer who is frowning on Obama right now. And that's George Soros. His name is familiar to the white wing, to the right wing, to the light wing, to the might wing. That's George Soros. That's the man who broke the Bank of England. And he's not amused by Obama, his puppet. After all, he bought a president. And he's not getting the returns he expected for his money. See, it came out today that Soros wanted the U.S. banks nationalized. Now, why would he want the banks nationalized? No doubt, because it would be beneficial to his business interests. But you see, the puppet Obama didn't go as far as Soros wanted. Even Obama understands that America will only tolerate so much socialism at a time. I want you to remember what Soros has done. September 16, 1992, Soros' fund sold short more than $10 billion worth of pounds sterling, profiting from the Bank of England to the tune of $1.1 billion. He almost broke the Bank of England. In 1997, Soros, the money changer during the Asian financial crisis, was accused of manipulating the Malaysian currency and wreaking havoc in that nation's economy, again for his own profit. In 2002, a French court convicted George Soros of insider trading. So when Soros pours enormous amounts of money into the political system on behalf of Barack Obama and the Demon Cats, he wants results. And he's not getting them. So what can we expect from the master money changer? Will he leave his erstwhile protege Obama in the lurch and at the mercy of the Republicans 2010 and 2012? Will he back someone even farther to the left than the naked Marxist? Or will Soros switch course and buy off whoever he thinks the most likely Republican candidate will be next time around? I'll let you, the Savage Nation, decide. We're a long way from Jesus, but when Jesus saw the money changers in the temple, he cast them out of the temple. When Obama, the left's new Messiah, noticed the money changers in the temple of our nation, he asked them for a campaign contribution. Now, of course, remember what happened over the weekend? There was an earthquake in Chile, and they thought there might be a tsunami in Hawaii. And, of course, the entire West Coast went on alert. Well, the minute the government media complex got a hold of it, they wouldn't let it go. Until they found out that the tsunami was non-existent. It was unbelievable. It came in with a force 10 and went out with a splash. You should have heard the hysteria.
Alert sirens blaring in Hawaii, where the very first waves expected to roll in about an hour or so from now.
Every country that's got a coastline along the Pacific has been warned to expect some level of tsunami waves. And
fear rippling across the Pacific. We continue our breaking news coverage.
And there's a frantic effort underway now in Hawaii to try to evacuate low-lying areas.
The quake also triggered tsunami warnings. and advisories across the entire Pacific basin all the way to Japan.
And then furthermore, they're warning that a tsunami could go up to a mile inland. Keep in mind is that all of this is a sort of an imprecise predictor.
Warning.
Alert sirens blaring.
Frantic effort.
Fear rippling across the Pacific.
Rush of water.
Evacuate.
Dangerous. Prepare for these waves. And
the first two waves did not cause any problems.
That's pretty much it. The crowd remains strong.
The good news from Hawaii is that the surge from the tsunami has not been as great as a lot of people feared.
But there wasn't really that big of an impact on the shore. It was really a non-incident.
An official from the Pacific Warning Center has been quoted as saying, "We dodged a bullet."
Dodged a bullet? I wish you could say the same thing about Andrew Stern. The man who's visited Obama more than anyone else in the White House. Andrew Stern? Why? He's president of the far-left Communist Service Employees International Union, an out-and-out communist organization. Listen to this guy.
We are beginning. We have offices now in Australia and in Switzerland, in London, in South America, in Africa. We've been working with unions around the world. And what we're working towards is building a global organization because workers of the world unite. It's not just a slogan anymore. It's a way we're going to have to do our work.
Workers of the world unite. They've been using the same slogans for 100 years. The same slogan since the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Andy, the world is not the garment center.
We're trying to use the power of persuasion. And if that doesn't work, we're going to use the persuasion of power because there are governments and there are opportunities to change laws that affect these companies. I'm not naive. We're ready to strike. There are opportunities in America to share better in the wealth, to rebalance the power, and unions and government are part of the solution.
I noticed that the hemorrhoid beat the wall banger in the rating system. That's going to kill the wall banger. See, the wall banger was a fill-in for Rush. And he did very well for a fill, and he's gotten away with murder. He has people believing him. And now all of a sudden comes along a bigger faker than him, and the other faker now outdoes the first faker. At least O'Reilly has a degree from Harvard. I mean, you got to give him that. These two, the two of them together donate up to a high school degree. I like Bret Baier at Fox News. He's sober, reliable, centrist. I like him, and he's the only one who covered my plight with Great Britain. Greta Van Susteren, I never cared for. She was always, to me, Scarface. I can't forgive her the three things. Number one, she's a liberal from CNN. B, she's with Scientology. Schlepp Smith, I never liked. I don't go for the pretty boy look. And he's a lib. The other one at CNN, Nancy Grace, how she stays alive, I don't know. How the woman doesn't collapse from her own disgust, of self-disgust, I'll never understand. Larry King, all right, he was around when Moses was walking the earth. You got to give him credit for still, you know, getting up there and punching. The others don't exist. The half creature there on the bottom of the list, the half thing that I believe her mother appeared in the movie as Pat, the creature from the Black Lagoon. And then the guy with the cow degree, no one listens to them anymore. Unbelievable. Then you got the fishmonger there too, moving ahead of them. The fishmonger. From the Lower East Side.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I know everything. I'll tell you who I am. You're them Republican. They want to burn the earth up.
Even she's doing better than Grace. The fishmonger. The pickle seller. The pickle saleswoman. She tried to get me on a show many times on CNN. Like I didn't know who she was. The pickle woman. The pickle woman, I call her. I gave her a name already. You know who I'm talking about, right? I'm not even going to. You can't even mention her name. The pickle woman. The pickle woman's daughter. She looks like a woman I used to know on Delancey Street who wanted to stand the pickles. They gave her makeup, and she's on CNN already, selling the same baloney that they would have sold over a pickle stand.
Savage.
And now an exclusive update from Robert Scott Bell.
Good to be back with you, Michael, and the Savage Nation audience. Always glad to, again, bring the message of freedom back to where it belongs, right here with all of us. And, of course, the Democrats and the Obamaites are really pushing heavy and hard for more health care reform. I don't know how many times do we have to explain to them that there is no health care in the health care reform. It's more monopoly management from government of the disease of government, and of course, the diseases that cannot be reversed by an even stronger monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when we look at health care and I guess the loss of the thought form that we have an obligation to care for ourselves and that there is no way a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. can care for our health. Even if they wanted to, with all the altruism that they have with our money, they couldn't do it because they've already bought hook, line, and sinker this idea that the only way we can have good health is if we get more and more drugs to more and more people. And we are already the most over-medicated population on the planet. So we cannot medicate our way back to health, much less back to freedom. And then you got Barack Obama out there just charging ahead. What are we going to do? We're going to get the 51-vote majority in the Senate. What's going to be the case here? Will the Republicans stop it on principle or just because they can? This is an interesting thing to watch, and that's an understatement. But I'm very concerned that both parties don't really understand the core principles here. And, of course, the core principle is the freedom to care for our health the way we believe, not the way Obama believes. Listen to him. He's out there telling us about how great his health care is.
Play the clip.
I'll bet in terms of drug prices, we would definitely reduce prescription drug prices if we didn't have a drug administration that makes sure that we test the drugs so that they don't kill us. But we don't do that. We make some decisions to protect consumers in every aspect of our lives.
Did you hear what he just said?
Unbelievable.
The FDA protecting us? Oh, yeah, if we didn't have the FDA protecting us, has he read the Barbara Starfield report from the Journal of the American Medical Association in the year 2000? Even the Institute of Medicine has acknowledged the dangerous role of the drugs that are approved by the Food and Drug Administration here. How he can actually say with a straight face that, oh, yeah, we could cheapen drugs if we would just not test them, and then, of course, everything would be unsafe. How does he overlook, as unfortunately so many people in that horrible bureaucracy that we're all dealing with here, as it just runs roughshod over what little freedom we have left, that the FDA's approval process is such that we are finding out more and more of these medicines. Remember Avandia, the diabetes drug, now causing all kinds of heart attacks, precipitating death in tens of thousands of people. And, of course, that's just one drug among many along the history of the FDA approval process, of course, Vioxx. And, when I came on last week, we talked about this idea of they take away one thing, we don't say anything because we don't use that. When I mentioned L-tryptophan, of course, it was a contaminated batch so many years ago from out of the country. It had nothing to do with the danger of an amino acid. And then, of course, they went after, in the last number of years, ephedra became the big lightning rod, linchpin. We've got to go after all dietary supplements because ephedra is killing people. Never mind that it's been used safely for thousands of years. What are you going to say? The Chinese people thousands of years ago were smarter than the Americans of today? We can't figure out how to use a dietary supplement safely and efficiently? You know, the outrage is an understatement here because, of course, they all treat us like we're a bunch of idiots. They can't think for ourselves, so we must be protected from, oh my gosh, we drank too much water and we drown. You know, might as well ban that. But of course, with the FDA stamp of approval, you get, boom, this false sense of security that, oh, the federal government has endorsed it, said it's safe, and there we get the sheeple out there relying just on this stamp of approval and thinking, oh, my doctor, who is also, unfortunately, a licensed representative of the state, that's how the monopoly rolls. And the doc may or may not do his homework or her homework to find out whether the drug is actually safe. May just rely on the same thing. FDA says it's okay, so let's go ahead and prescribe it. And so we've got this consideration here that the American people, the false sense of security that is imbued with this FDA stamp of approval, which is why I would argue if they just wiped out the FDA, oh my gosh, that's so radical. Eliminate it. Maybe the 784,000 Americans a year, maybe that number would diminish significantly. It's certainly not going to go up.
Why not?
Because imagine if we didn't have a federal authority stamping an approval with this false sense of security that comes with it, and we just take the drug because the FDA says it's okay, and then we end up with such a horrendous rate of death. Imagine if we had to think for ourselves, if we had to go to private organizations that assess these things. We have to do our homework, or our doctor actually has to do some of this homework too. and you read the labels, you read the side effects, the potential deadly effects, and you say, I don't know if it's worth it, whether I should take this thing. Rather than thinking, the FDA's got my back. Yeah, 6 feet under, as we see this, and Obama thinking, we could just stop with the FDA. Yeah, we could! And I would argue that the death rate would go down because people would finally say, hey, I cannot rely on bureaucracies in 10 miles square to care for me, my health, the health of my family. And unfortunately, because the government is so embedded into the medical profession, the doctors don't even have time to do the work that they would like to do to protect our health, legitimately. Those that have invested their time, effort, and hard work to really do right by those that are seeking their help. And those innovative doctors we've talked about here on the Savage Nation, of course, often savagely, if you will, not from here, of course, but attacked by the bureaucracy, by state boards of medicine corrupted with conflicts of interest from the drug industry, more concerned about selling us false bills of goods that are literally harming us and in many cases killing us. So what does Barack Obama have to say about healthcare reform? How can we all have it as good as he has it?
Maybe more personally, I should just mention the fact that I now have about as good healthcare as anybody could have. I got a doctor right downstairs.
What? We're up against a break. Can you stay over?
Absolutely, Michael. Be glad to hang on for another segment with you. I appreciate that very much.
We'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about Obama and his healthcare ideas with Robert Scott Bell. Let's replay that clip.
Maybe more personally, I should just mention the fact that I now have about as good healthcare as anybody could have. I got a doctor right downstairs.
Are you kidding?
Right here on the Savage Nation, we're learning the new push for healthcare reform. Nothing to do with insurance. It's a doctor in every basement. Thank you, Barack Obama. Now, think about the poor doctor. What if the doctor doesn't want to be in your basement? He's going to get vitamin D deficient, depression, increase in cancer. But then again, you can't label vitamin D as cancer protective. No. The federal authorities that would stamp approval on the drugs that are killing Americans refuse to allow the dietary supplement manufacturers that actually put out good products to actually say what they do.
True.
And Barack Obama's just saying, hey, look, you know, I got a doctor downstairs. We should all have a doctor downstairs. Yeah, one licensed again by government, not free to care for us with the nutritional elements that are so lacking in so many of the soils and so many of the foods, which is why that industry may be as vital as any industry. You know, they talk about national security of the United States. You want to talk national security. Let's talk the health of the people and the freedom to know the truth about the foods that they eat, the supplements that they take, and the drugs that are declared safe by an FDA that is out of control and certainly endorsing by their very actions a culture of death, not a culture of life.
But the left just wants to help everybody.
If you think about the ideas that are coming from the left in regards to socializing medicine, you know, healthcare reform proponents are claiming, well, thousands are going to die. Oh, we're all going to die if we don't do something. And I would argue it's better to do nothing than something. Sure, I would like to see changes in the healthcare system. I would like to see freedom come back into it. But, you know, when they say thousands are going to die if we don't do nothing, what about the thousands and hundreds of thousands already dying due to these government-sanctioned medicines and so-called healthcare? Their cries fall on deaf ears or perhaps the blindness induced by Merck's Gardasil vaccine that they have foisted upon little girls against the human papillomavirus. Unless you think I'm just coming out against Merck again, I mean, it's not hard to do with their ability to own and control so much of what happens at FDA and even CDC. We've covered that issue with the revolving door between our bureaucrats and that industry.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a peer-reviewed publication that has come out that referenced in the Journal of Child Neurology, reporting a 16-year-old girl blinded after the Merck Gardasil vaccination. Now, this is the same one that Governor Rick Perry in Texas, he's running against a couple of people, Kay Bailey Hutchinson and Deborah Medina, And here's a guy who thought, well, you know, all of our little girls need to be, you know, basically mandated, a mandate to, before they can go to school, to get this shot, now being reported to cause all kinds of havoc among young children, particularly little girls in this case. And so, again, this is not coming out of some strange magazine somewhere. I mean, this is now in the peer-reviewed journal. So it's something that you've heard first here on the Savage Nation. And this is the kind of thing that we've got to realize. Are there any candidates for office, whether it be state, federal, local, whatever, that actually want freedom to be restored to the people as it is designed by our founding documents? I know it's an outrageous position to actually reference the Constitution. Even so-called conservatives sometimes refer to it, oh, it's that Constitution, it's a bit of an anachronistic paper. Do we really need to pay attention? We don't pay attention to that anymore. And of course, we realize in holistic health, we look at a body, and Michael, you can look at someone and say, that person has a Constitution, and that it needs certain things. And if you ignore that Constitution, if you violate that Constitution, what is the obvious inevitable result? Ill health, disease. And yet, in Washington, Democrats and Republicans alike ignoring the Constitution at our peril. It's not anachronistic. It's very much vital to limit the scope and size of the federal bureaucracy down to what the founders understood was necessary for our defense, and to honor or, let's say, enforce contracts between contractable parties.
Good point.
And now, seemingly, the government is only designed to protect itself and protect Big Pharma from the people who would want to choose other forms of natural remedies or natural medicines. And yes, there's even more news in regards to now infectious disease. And you think again about the medical monopoly. Like, we could have a lot of people out there that are invested in it, that are working in it, and we're not speaking out against modern medicine per se, except the monopoly, because it stifles innovation. For over 70 years now, modern medicine has, because of its monopoly, has basically forgotten to look at all the things of nature and the potential that nature has, and even things that preceded the advent and advancements in antimicrobial drugs, for instance, for infections, right? We know about antibiotics, but resistance is growing tremendously. There's a big story out here on the news, a rising threat of infections unfazed by antibiotics.
Well, like what?
Yeah, a minor league pitcher here. Now, they got a story about Richard Armbruster, now in his 70s, or he was until this happened. He had basically worn out his hip. And you know, hey, imagine that you can actually replace hips now. I mean, these are advancements. It's sorry that anybody has to wear their parts out, but hey, it's cool. You can replace them. But of course, in the replacement process, Mr. Armbruster ended up having infections and blood poisoning, blood sepsis, that could not be treated by any and every antibiotic that they threw at it. And so he ended up dying of an MRSA infection. And we are not too long in the future away from a time where there will be no antibiotics that will work for anybody, because nature is able to outpace the advancements made, no matter how fast we go, in modern medicine and modern pharmacological treatment of infection. We're just not that smart, Michael, at the end of the day. We can't outdo creation. Yet, there are substances within the natural realm, whether they be minerals, whether they be certain metals, whether they be certain botanicals and herbs, that have a tremendously powerful impact in strengthening our resilience and our ability to overcome those infections without developing resistance. And my argument here is the fact that because we've had a monopoly, innovation into the realm of nature, where we could have been studying these things that have been used for time immemorial, has been ignored. More than that, it's been persecuted and prosecuted almost out of existence, simply to protect the monopoly, which is why I argue, not against modern medicine, but the monopoly it has, because now the innovation has been lost and we're far behind the game in truly understanding. Of course, those that are invested in holistic medicine, whether they be medical doctors or naturopathic doctors, understand the role and the importance of the natural substances out there in overcoming these infections, even the resistant strains. And so my argument again is for freedom, the freedom to heal, the freedom to innovate. This is an American ideal that needs to be restored. Not Barack Obama providing a doctor in every basement controlled by the federal bureaucracy so that they can never heal anything except to provide that which the FDA stamps its approval on. And then we find out, oh, how many people have died? We've got to withdraw that one as well.
You have a follow-up on my cane for us?
Yeah, there's some follow-up, too, on the issue of John McCain, the phony conservative, liberal Republican, I guess. Well, how many ways can we call him not a conservative? But there's, an argument in his state, again, we talk Arizona here, from a group claiming that if they don't adopt health care reform in Washington, D.C., there will be an additional 7,300 premature deaths in Arizona during the next decade. Of course, we come back to the complete ignorance in regards to the existing system as it stands right now, creating so much death and mayhem that for them to argue if they did nothing that there would be 7,300 premature deaths, I mean, there's so many more than that already happening. But what they're trying to do, as I said, is institutionalize a system that is already creating these deaths and more. Look at John McCain and what he's doing now. He's foisting upon us right now this proposal, the Dietary Supplement Safety Act. And if your listeners have not let him have a piece of their mind, I don't know what they're doing. Because, again, there's going to be a time when all of us wake up and realize, oh my gosh, we were hoodwinked. We need access to good food. We need access to dietary supplements to supplement that which is not in our food anymore. And so we come to this equation where John McCain, along with a Democratic senator who's retiring, suddenly think, well, you know, it's just too darn dangerous. We've got to, you know, basically give more powers to the federal government to pull this stuff off the market. And as I said, 2008, they reported the poison control centers, you know, big goose egg, zero deaths due to dietary mineral supplements, herbal supplements, all of these things, the whole category. Where is the need for more government, for bigger government to encroach upon the one industry among a few that are actually doing good things, not begging for handouts to be saved or rescued by the federal government because they were too stupid to operate with sound business practices? And so that's what we got with McCain, and I think we got to do everything we can to rise up and stop that because, you know, when we lose it, when we lose the ability to feed our children the things that they need, of course, it's all over. It's all over. For those out there still believing that some form of socialized medicine is just the way we're going to have to go because it's gotten so terribly bad, just recognize that your first primary thing that you have to do to implement it is a violation of one of the fundamentals of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. You have to steal from your neighbor. So as long as you don't mind supporting theft, in support of what we call the medical monopoly here, then you can be fine with socialized medicine. But if you want homeopathy, if you want herbs, if you want dietary mineral supplements, the things that would actually contribute to the improved health of the American people, realize that they are absolutely not only not included in any reform passed by Congress, but they may likely, if the Senate has its way, if John McCain has his way, these things that would actually contribute to good health will be banned, will be made illegal, or at least allowed only in such minute quantities as to be inconsequential. Again, thanks to McCain's love, evidently, of the United Nations Codex Alimentarius and its attempts to harmonize our laws with the entire planet. U.S. sovereignty be damned. John McCain, did you take an oath to support, defend the Constitution? Do you even know what the Constitution is? So for those of you who think it's better to do something than nothing, are you on drugs? Or are you on drugs and drug money? These are the conflicts of interest that need to come to the surface, and they are. Thanks to those of you in the Savage Nation audience, you're making this awareness go much further than it would have in the past, and we're making a difference, and I appreciate all your help in these efforts.
Thanks for the report, Robert.
Savage.
The latest on the website michaelsavage.com. You got to see these. Farrakhan blasts white right for conspiring against Obama. Now, when you have Nation of Islam Minister Louis Farrakhan on your side, and on top of it, he's boasting his divine stature, and he attacks the opposition as being the white right, you know Obama's in trouble. You know, you can know a man by his friends or by the friends he keeps. And with a friend like Louis Farrakhan, I don't think that Obama's very popular, even in the Democrat Party, given that the Nation of Islam Minister Louis Farrakhan is blasting anyone who opposes socialized medicine as white right. I call it from the Orlando Sentinel. Soros the speculator unhappy with puppet Obama because he didn't nationalize banks. From The Hill, could Pelosi stand by wrangle cost Democrats the House? From AP, Muslim soldiers thrown out of military, but they didn't poison the food supply, say the military. Ha! Then why'd you throw them out of the military? Tell me about that one. ABC News, Pelosi claims common ground with the Tea Party movement. That's right, tea for two, and you for tea, me for two, and me for you. That's Nancy. London Telegraph says Islamic radicals have infiltrated the UK Labour Party. A pro-jihad, pro-sharia group has infiltrated the Labour Party in Britain, and you wondered why your man, Michael Savage, was put on a list of those banned from Britain? Feh, bah humbug. Let them have it. If they're not willing to stand up and fight for their nation, it's not worth going there. Left-wing radical head of Britain rallies voters against conservatives. That's none other than the Muslim stooge, Gordon Brown, from Agence France-Presse. Swiss Muslims scoff at Gaddafi's call for jihad. Ugh. Pelosi says she's running the most ethical Congress ever. Well, I guess she is. She means the Congress of the Philippines, the Congress of the Congo, the Congress of Indonesia. We don't know what country she's referring to. She said she's running the most ethical Congress yet, but she didn't mention what nation she was talking about. Ring of Fire strikes again. That was the earthquake that struck off Chile, revealing a... You got to see the picture I have on themichaelsavage.com. It's a picture of the Ring of Fire, a massive zone of volcanic instability that encircles the Pacific. I mean, it's an amazing picture. Islamic bomber demands jihad against mostly Muslim nation, says, oh, screw him, who cares? Missionary recounts captivity by Philippine Muslim extremists. Funny, I'm not reading about any hostage-taking by Christian extremists. Are you, Beowulf? You see that anywhere?
I haven't seen that anywhere recently.
I hear the military says that all religions are a threat to the stability of America. And, of course, the head of DHS, Janet Incompetano, says all religions are dangerous. I haven't seen any Christian terrorists taking people hostage of you.
No, the Christians have been strangely silent. No terrorists, no kidnappers.
Quiet.
Quiet lately.
I haven't seen the Christians hijack a plane lately of you, Beowulf.
No, not at all. How odd.
And here's evil Israel preparing to battle with Iran. You know, their Mossad allegedly killed the head of their enemy last week, and the whole world is now hunting for the Israeli heroes. That shows you where the world has gone. Diet pill scam artist gets prison time. Good luck. And here on bottom right of MichaelSavage.com, historic crime photos go on public display in Los Angeles. You got to see this picture. You won't believe these pictures. You got to see them on MichaelSavage.com. Obama's trying to take over a huge part of the national economy with his so-called health care bill. Who knows what's going to happen to the stock market or the dollar? I don't. But if you get in touch with my good friends and advertisers, the best at Swiss America, they can connect you with one of the best investments of the 21st century. That's gold. Call them now at 800-289-2646. Well, things are getting rough for Obama. Even those who supported him in the election are turning against him. Well, for not being socialist enough. Even George Soros.
I'm not satisfied. The solution that he found to the financial crisis, which was to effectively bail out the banks and allow them to earn their way out of the hole, was, in my opinion, not the right solution.
And what does Soros think Obama should have done? Why nationalize the banks? That's why he's mad at him.
He should have compulsorily replaced the capital that was lost. Thanks. This is what they call nationalizing the banks. And he made the political decision that that is un-American, will not be accepted.
It's un-American, and even Obama knows that. But Nancy Lugosi doesn't seem to realize this about socialized medicine.
You know that the polls show that the American people are deeply divided on health care. Many of them are opposed to it. What do you say to your members when it does come to the House to vote on this, who are in real fear of losing their seats in November if they support you now?
They know that this will take courage. It took courage to pass Social Security. It took courage to pass Medicare. And many of the same forces that were at work decades ago are at work again against this bill.
And what does Lugosi have to say about the corrupt Charlie Rangel? Listen.
The Ethics Committee on Charles Rangel said that he has violated the House gift rule. How can he remain in such a powerful position as chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, given the fact that there are further pending ethics investigations and this public admonishment has taken place?
Well, it is a public admonishment. It said he did not knowingly violate House rules, so that gives him some comfort.
You understand this is why so many Americans think Congress is corrupt. It just doesn't, it doesn't look good.
The fact is that what Mr. Rangel has been admonished for is not good. It was a violation of the rule of the House. It was not a something that jeopardized our country in any way.
Well, maybe he didn't, but you certainly do. You'd like to push socialized medicine without a single Republican vote. With 80% of the American people opposed, what do you care, Nancy?
Bipartisanship is a two-way street. But let me say this. The bill can be bipartisan, even though the votes might not be bipartisan, because we were all for public option. We're now going with a Republican idea and exchange.
All right, play Blue Monday.
And I'm out on this empty plane. Sunday morning, my head is bad. Oh, it worth it for the time.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.